The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the 12, "A disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher, and the slave like the master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them. For nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. And even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I also will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I also will deny before my Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And one's foes will be members of one's own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Sisters and brothers in Christ, if you just watched my children's sermon message about gardens, you saw that I have planted my garden in buckets this year. And maybe you have a garden this summer too, in raised beds or in small plot of land, or maybe you have your garden in a big acreage or a huge field. And just like we garden and grow food in different ways, we also interpret and read scripture in different ways. You know, when I'm stuck with how to interpret something in the Bible, what helps me is to consider the text from different lenses, a devotional lens, a historical lens, a literary lens, and sometimes a Lutheran theological lens. So there isn't just one way that you and I can read Scripture. I do tend to consider the context of the text when I'm reading to try and understand what's the background of the message. Now remember, Matthew's gospel was written sometime between the years of 80 and 85. That's 50 years after Jesus' execution and resurrection, and about 15 years after the Roman-Jewish War. Remember when the temple was destroyed and blood ran in the streets of Jerusalem? This means that this particular gospel is post-war literature. And that impacts how the first hearers would have received the good news, and frankly, how we receive it today. The author of Matthew's gospel was trying to hold together a Jewish Christian community in a situation that was extremely difficult. One thing that is clear is that Matthew's church on the margins saw themselves as fragile, vulnerable, and beset with difficulties. If Jesus himself had been accused of being a demon by religious establishment half a century before, then his followers at any time should be prepared to hear the same accusation and threats. And even though generations of followers faced severe opposition and persecution for preaching a kingdom message, the radical movement of love and status quo upheaval couldn't be stopped. In today's gospel, Jesus says that the disciple is not above the teacher, which is a way of saying that the followers of Jesus should not expect different treatment than what Jesus himself received. Jesus faced opposition for ushering in a new era, what we believers call the kingdom of God or the beloved community. Jesus ushered in this new era of lifting up the ones trampled by the empire, of bringing close the ones left out, and seeing and hearing any who were silenced. Jesus faced his own opposition, and so he tells his disciples that it shouldn't be surprising that they will face opposition too. And so, since we too are disciples of Jesus, followers of the way, we ought to expect to face criticism when we follow in Jesus's way. For disciples are not above the teacher. Jesus here is having a hard conversation with his disciples, and Matthew is having a hard conversation with his faith community. It's not that warm, fuzzy conversation and pep talk that we hear in other parts of the gospel. Rather, it's a come-to-Jesus conversation. A few verses from now, Jesus says, "Don't think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I haven't come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and one's foes will be members of one's own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." Matthew is having Jesus quote the prophet Micah as a way to explain the tension that Jesus's followers were experiencing during Matthew's time, even in one's own home with one's own family. Of course, Jesus is not advocating violence, and he calls his disciples to be peacemakers. But Matthew was very aware that not everyone agreed with what Jesus had been up to. And especially after the Roman-Jewish war, there was considerable division within families due to the Christian faith. And what's interesting is that in the midst of family tension, Jesus does not offer comfort. He doesn't turn on the morphine drip so his followers don't feel the pain. Rather, he invites them to trust in the cross and the life one finds by losing it for the sake of the gospel. One commentary offers that in whatever time we live, taking up the cross means living according to the way Jesus taught, no matter what one's condition or circumstance. For our time today, following Jesus may not mean being executed on a cross. It may mean trying to live as a Christian in the context of wealth and privilege. This past Wednesday was June 17th, and it was the 5-year anniversary of when a 21-year-old white supremacist attended a prayer service and a Bible study at the historic African-American church, Emmanuel AME Zion Church in Charleston, South Carolina. He was warmly welcomed and received by the group. Together, they all participated in a Bible study for 40 minutes. He waited for them to begin praying, and then he raised a gun. He espoused racist rhetoric and epithets, and for 6 horrific minutes, he fired at all the praying Bible study participants, killing 9 beautiful sisters and brothers in Christ. We say the names of the Emmanuel 9: Clementa C. Pinckney, Cynthia Marie Graham Hurd, Susie Jackson, Ethel Lee Lance, DePayne Middleton Doctor, Tywanza Sanders, Daniel L. Simmons, Sharonda Coleman Singleton, and Myra Thompson. We say their names so we don't forget, and to remember that the shooter was a baptized ELCA member. In remembrance of June 17th as a day of repentance for the ELCA, it was written that, quote, God's intention for all humanity is that we see the intrinsic worth, dignity, and value of all people. Racism undermines the promise of community and fractures authentic relationships with one another. We need to talk and we need to listen, but we also need to act and speak out against inequity. You know, to talk about race and racism is not to poke the proverbial bear, rather to talk courageously about hard things like race, racism, and white supremacy is to do wound care and dismantling of oppressive systems. While there is a place for reconciliation in the community, I don't know that we can too quickly jump to reconciliation until we take the hard route through truth, the good, the bad, and the ugly truth. And that means journeying is one of repentance. And then may come a time for reconciliation. I mean, what are we about if we aren't about worship, prayer, learning, and serving? What are we about if we aren't about confession and forgiveness, repentance and reconciliation, which comes by engaging in courageous conversations, opening ourselves up to hearing and asking about hard topics? Reconciliation without truth is not really reconciliation. It just feeds the need to feel comfortable and doesn't get at the root of being uncomfortable. Conversations around race, racism, and white supremacy are uncomfortable, and they should be, because they are part of being unsettled. As a community of disciples who have been able to have hard conversations in the past, I believe God is with us in this holy moment. Jesus doesn't promise that the road of discipleship will be easy, nor that we should expect better treatment than what he got. But he does assure us that we need not be afraid to be his followers and to take up the cross. So where do we go from here? What are we going to do? How are we going to be? Well, we got to start somewhere. And that somewhere is God. God calls us in our baptisms to care for others in the world God made and to strive for justice and peace in all the earth. Our life as disciples is in Christ crucified and raised. We are marked with the cross, filled with holy food, and we are sent from worship to witness to Christ in the world. So in the coming weeks, I will lay out a plan for how we will listen together and speak together as a faith community in the hard work of courageous conversations around race, racism, and white supremacy. As your pastor and brother in Christ, I am committed to doing this work with you because I need to do it for myself. And I invite you to join in this effort together because we are a church who loves our neighbors. And we are a church who makes disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. May God give us the strength and the courage for the work ahead. Amen.